Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for June 21st, 2016. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Francisco Quintana about a potential treatment strategy for type 1 diabetes that uses nanoparticles. Our immune system protects us by attacking foreign invaders like bacteria and by getting rid of damaged, dying, or cancerous cells, but generally leaves normal cells alone. This phenomenon is called immune tolerance, and defects in immune tolerance cause autoimmune diseases in which the body's own immune system attacks normal cells. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease in which the immune system attacks and kills the insulin-producing beta cells of the pancreas. Therapies that prevent or reduce the immune response against beta cells could therefore be used to treat type 1 diabetes. Francisco Quintana and his colleagues have engineered nanoparticles that are coated with both a form of insulin that's recognized by immune cells and a molecule that induces immune tolerance. These nanoparticles suppressed autoimmunity in a mouse model of type 1 diabetes. Quintana spoke to me from Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. Dr. Quintana, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me here.
There are two types of immune tolerance. There's central tolerance, in which new T cells and new B cells that react against self-antigens are eliminated where they're born, in the thymus or in the bone marrow. And then there's also peripheral tolerance, in which autoreactivity of T cells and B cells is controlled after they leave the bone marrow or the thymus. Do we know much about the mechanisms of immune tolerance that are relevant in the context of type 1 diabetes?
Well, there's much to be learned about the mechanisms of central and peripheral tolerance that are relevant for type 1 diabetes. We do know that defects in both mechanisms can contribute to disease pathogenesis, right? I guess that from a practical point of view and from a therapeutic point of view, our efforts and the efforts of the community have been mostly focused on mechanisms of peripheral tolerance, because those are probably the ones that will give us a therapeutic opportunity, right?
Right. Rather than addressing autoreactivity where it arises, you address it where it has its effect.
Exactly. Because if you think that in healthy individuals, there are mechanisms of peripheral tolerance that are operating to keep autoreactivity under control, you might attempt to exploit those mechanisms as a way of controlling autoimmunity ongoing in type 1 diabetes or obviously in other immune-mediated disorders.
What are some of the strategies for restoring immune tolerance that have been considered for treating type 1 diabetes?
Well, there are several. One is oral tolerance. There were several trials with that. There were tolerogenic peptides administered in different manners, right? Then there were antibodies, and there are several trials on antibodies that probably they were an antigen-specific, right? And then in terms of antigen-specific, there are DNA vaccines, something that even I attempted many years ago, but in preclinical models, and some other investigators have attempted in clinical trials. And then there are also nanoparticles. However, within nanoparticles, there are different strategies you can use in order to reestablish peripheral tolerance.
In this paper, you describe some nanoparticles that you've created that can promote tolerance to pancreatic beta cells. What's on these nanoparticles?
The nanoparticle approach we have chosen actually is based on the idea that you deliver two signals, two pieces of information with each nanoparticle. So each nanoparticle is loaded with two types of molecules. On the one hand, you have an antigen, a piece of a protein that we know is targeted by the autoimmune response in type 1 diabetes. On the second hand, the other piece of information you have in these nanoparticles is actually a tolerogenic small molecule, a small chemical that we and others have shown can induce tolerance by activating specific mechanisms. And the whole concept is that dendritic cells, which are cells that control the immune response and control the autoimmune response, will uptake these nanoparticles and then they will receive two signals. They will receive this tolerogenic signal, so they will start arresting the immune response. They will start arresting the pathogenic T cells. And because they also have a second signal, which is a peptide, right, that makes it specific, then the dendritic cells will do so specifically targeting the T cells that are directed against the self-antigen.
What is the antigen that's on the nanoparticle?
So in these experiments and in this specific project, we use insulin, which is a well-known antigen that is targeted by the autoimmune response in the context of type 1 diabetes. And this is one of the earliest antigens that is recognized by the autoimmune response. However, in ongoing studies, we are targeting additional antigens associated to type 1 diabetes.
When you tested these nanoparticles in mice that have a form of type 1 diabetes, what happened?
So when we administered these nanoparticles to mice that developed spontaneous type 1 diabetes, what we found was, on the one hand, the most obvious observation was that it was an arrest of the spontaneous development of diabetes. In addition, we found that it was a significant decrease in the activity of pathogenic T cells that destroy beta cells and drive the progression of diabetes. And that was associated with an increase in regulatory T cells, FOXP3 expressing T cells that suppress the autoimmune response. So as I say, there were three observations: suppression of spontaneous type 1 diabetes, suppression of the pathogenic T cell response, and expansion of the regulatory T cell response.
Did you inject these nanoparticles into a specific site, or were they just administered systemically?
So we administer our nanoparticles systemically. You could think about methods of administering these nanoparticles specifically into lymph nodes as a way of improving their efficacy, but that is not what we tested in our studies.
You mentioned that the nanoparticles could suppress type 1 diabetes. Does it prevent animals from developing it in the first place, or can it reverse type 1 diabetes after it's already been established?
So in our studies, we administered these nanoparticles after the disease process has started, because we actually administered them between 8 and 10 weeks when the mice already have insulitis and the autoimmune process is ongoing. In ongoing studies, what we are testing is whether we can give them even later, even after the onset of the disease, to see if the nanoparticles are still capable of suppressing the disease alone or in combination with other therapies.
So were there any side effects of injecting the nanoparticles were there any effects on the immune system, for example? Were the animals less able to fight off infections? Did it impair immune function?
So we studied these mice treated with nanoparticles, and we didn't see a general immunosuppression. However, we didn't specifically test whether these mice, because of this treatment, were more susceptible to infections. Because of the way we designed these nanoparticles and the way they are thought to work, this should not be the case.
At a molecular level, how do the nanoparticles stimulate tolerance?
These nanoparticles work by targeting a pathway with which we've been working for the last 10 years, which is the pathway controlled by the aryl hydrocarbon receptor, or AHR. We have shown before that AHR plays an important role in controlling the development of effector and regulatory cells. So what these nanoparticles do is they activate AHR signaling in dendritic cells, and when they do so, they trigger the expression of SOX2. And this AHR SOX2 pathway, what it does is it inhibits the expression, it inhibits the activation, actually, of NF-kappa-V, and by doing so, turns or favors the differentiation of dendritic cells into what we call tolerogenic dendritic cells that suppress effector T cell responses and favor the expansion of regulatory T cells.
How hard would it be to adapt these nanoparticles for use in humans?
So in the studies that are now about to be published, actually we did some pilot experiments using human T cells isolated from type 1 diabetes patients, actually T cells reactive against pancreatic antigens, and our nanoparticles gave positive results. So there are obviously several challenges in translating these findings into humans, and that has to do on how to build them in large quantities under GMP conditions. Those things are actually ongoing, and we're trying to proceed in that direction together with other collaborators.
type 1 diabetes is just one type of autoimmune disorder, right, where the immune system is attacking specifically the pancreatic beta cells. But there are lots of other types of autoimmune disorders where the immune system is attacking some other cell type. Could your approach be adapted to treat other forms of autoimmunity by using a different antigenic molecule instead of the piece of insulin that you used to attach to the nanoparticle?
That is actually a very good point. So the approach we're using is pretty modular in the sense you could have the same nanoparticle with the same or similar tolerogenic molecule and then just change the antigen you use as a way of inducing tolerance to different target organs, right? And we have indeed shown that using the very same approach, you can induce tolerance, for example, to CNS-relevant antigens that are involved in the pathogenesis of multiple sclerosis. And indeed, we showed in preclinical models of multiple sclerosis that these very same nanoparticles can actually suppress the pathogenic process. So in answer to your question, the idea is that this is a modular approach that potentially could be extended to control the autoimmune response in other immune-mediated diseases.
Fran, thanks for speaking with me.
Thanks to you for your interest in our work.
That was Francisco Quintana discussing a paper from the June 21st issue of Science Signaling by Yesta and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.